Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right now, joining us in studio, former Jets offensive tackle, DeBrickashaw Ferguson. Now, offensive linemen, they go either one way or the other after retirement. They never stay the same. They either balloon up and get really, really out of shape, and it's very, very depressing. Or they get in shape and they run half marathons.
Oh,
and that's what DeBrickashaw Ferguson is doing, is he is going to participate in the very popular Brooklyn Half on Saturday, May 17th. And you're going to be running alongside your brother, uncle, and best friend to raise money and awareness for Active Compassion, which provides help for vulnerable families and children in El Salvador. So 13.1 miles for an offensive lineman. That is something else.
Yeah, I mean, you got to do something after football's done, so why not run, right?
I asked you, how much weight did you lose since your last day as a Jet?
Yeah.
How much?
Probably about 40 pounds.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you always were tall and thin anyway.
Always lean. I think, you know, I struggle to keep weight on. That's always something that I dealt with, you know, since college. But I think once I stopped playing, stopped lifting those heavy weights, started to peel off a little bit, ate it differently. So.
13.1 miles, popular Brooklyn Marathon. Did you see the course, what it looks like and everything?
I've seen the course, yeah. I'm, you know, I'm excited for it, and I use excited, you know, because 13 miles is never easy. But it's always about making goals, and it's for a good cause.
Have you ran in a half marathon yet?
I have.
Oh, yeah,
I
okay.
Have.
Yeah. And, you'll be all right.
Yeah.
So did you finish the whole time? Did you walk at all, or did you run the whole time?
You know, I think – so the half marathon I did was actually in the Bahamas.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, usually when you say that, people are like, oh, man, that's like paradise. And I'm like, yes and no, because it was in January. So
okay.
When I'm training here, it's cold, and you go there, and the climate – so hot, you're sweating, and it's like, I don't know that that was the best situation for me personally.
Do you think a full marathon is in your future?
I don't know, man. That's it's a lot to ask, you
yeah.
know? I'm trying to do 13, and it's like, no, you want me to double that?
Yeah, but how did you feel after the first one down in the Bahamas?
Not great.
Oh, okay. All right. Well.
I mean, I finished it. It was hot. You know, you always get that feeling of like, am I going to cramp up? And this is it. Yeah, I'm gonna lock up. This. But no, I mean, I finished. I felt decent. But again, 13 more. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I don't know either. I don't. We did 40 on a bike. That was that was enough for us.
Right. We felt pretty good after it, though. It's not like we were completely crushed. But a marathon or a half marathon. I mean, I ran 3 miles over the weekend, and I was cooked at the end of it. And just three.
What were you doing running?
I don't know. I just felt like doing something different. I've been on the bike a lot. I don't know. My ass was hurting a little bit. I said, let me go run.
All right.
So I did. It was not a great
now your
decision.
Knee hurts and your feet hurt. Yeah,
right.
Okay.
Exactly. My thighs hurt and I'm walking around. I'm limping. It's Saturday, May 18th. I said the 17th before May 18th. It's the same day as the Wilder fight. Hopefully, this is all cleared out of Brooklyn by the time we get there.
Yeah. We don't need you jamming up traffic.
Yeah, right. Seriously. Yeah, finish quick.
I mean, it's early enough in the morning.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, good.
So how did you deal with your post-retirement? You say you got to figure out something in retirement.
Yeah.
Why not run? Boomer talks about this all the time with athletes and a mentality, and now you're retired and you're looking around saying, all right, I got a bunch of money, I had a nice career, but what the hell do I do with myself?
Yeah.
How was that transition for you?
You know, it's never easy. I think that's something that I probably thought it would be a little bit easier to transition. But no, I think that was a little bit of a struggle. I mean, you try different things, but you know, when you don't have anything that like really sticks, you get a little unnerved and it's like, what is it? Why am I not just able to roll into something the way I thought? But, you know, you still got to set goals. You still got to keep active. And I think even while you're trying to figure things out, you just keep moving forward. And I think even doing things like this, running, trying to find causes that, you know what, while I'm trying to figure out the rest of my life or some of these other things, I could focus on, you know, helping others. And I think that's the whole idea of, you know, working with an organization like Compassion, you know, attaching it to an organization like, you know, the popular Brooklyn Half. It's like, let's try to do things where, you know, I'm working physically and I'm causing a certain amount of good to happen while I'm still trying to figure out, you know, what I want to do for the next 30, 60 years.
I mean, you're still relatively young. How old are you now?
35.
35 years old, and you played 10 years in the NFL.
Yeah.
You feel like that was not enough, or was that just about the right amount of time?
For football, that was the right amount of time. I think, could I have played longer? Sure, but, you know, and you obviously know this, like, you have to have that fire. You have to, compete at the highest level. When you're seeing guys like Von Miller or these top draft picks to get drafted and you're the left tackle, you know, if you're not all the way there 100% of the time, it's going to be bad for you and it's going to be bad for your quarterback and ultimately bad for the organization. So I'm happy with what I was able to do, but, the game and some things, the more you do it over and over, it gets easier. But even though you hone in on technique, you hone in on your skill set, you have these young guys that have all this passion and fire, and it's like, man, they're not like getting tired like I'm getting tired. Yeah. So I think you got
no regrets.
No, not at all. Not at all.
I know when you said that's it. And I know you had some injuries and things of that nature, but at the end of the day, it was more mental than anything else.
Yeah. I think for me, it was just time. You know, I was very fortunate. Had a great career, been in some great games, AFC Championship games, you know, been in the Pro Bowl, you know, several times. So it was great. I mean, I had some great teammates and still friends with many of them, coaches alike. So I don't have any regrets, not football.
Now, being a guy that's a New York guy, you go to Freeport High School in Long Island, you mm-hmm. end up being a New York Jet. Did you find that to be easier or harder, being the hometown guy who ends up playing in the hometown? Because some guys love it, and then others are like, man, I mean, would have been nice to get away a little bit.
I think I kind of got both worlds, because initially we were right there. I was, you know, practicing at Hofstra. I was a couple towns away from Freeport. And then, you know, a couple of years later, we moved right out to Florham Park. And so anybody that knows traveling from Long Island to New Jersey is not a quick trip.
Right. Yes.
We all know that, yes.
So initially, yes, you know, I was in that hometown environment. I liked it. I appreciated it. You know, saw a lot of my friends on a regular basis. But then I also had that space going to Jersey. So I kind of got best of both worlds.
You know, as a former Jet, and now that we cover the Jets here at WFAN, there's so much change that always seems to go on over there.
Yeah.
And, you know, once again, it's a change. The new coaching staff, they finally got a first-round draft pick as a quarterback, you know, not unlike your guy, Mark Sanchez, from mm-hmm. USC and Sam Darnold. They go out and they sign Le'Veon Bell. They bring in Kelechi Osemele. Kelvin Beachum's here now. I mean, it seems like they're moving in the right direction. I mean, give me your thoughts on where you think the Jets will be this year.
I think this is a good year. I mean, it kind of reminds me of that new energy. I mean, you talked about all the changes, but they even changed their jerseys. I mean, it kind of reminds me when, like, Rex came in, how there was all this, like, excitement. And that kind of feels like that. And I think we have a lot of pieces that are solidified, like you mentioned, the quarterback, you know, starting to pick. I mean, the line looks different. I mean, I'm always a big fan of my linemen. So, but – you know, everything has been changed. Everything, you know, new running back. So I feel like there's a lot of excitement, and rightfully so. Head coach is a big deal, too. So I think this will be a good year. I mean, I think we say that every year. Fans are like, oh, this is a year, Brick. Yeah. We're going. But I think it's, you know, rightfully so, people should be excited about what to happen this year.
Talking to DeBrickashaw Ferguson, who's joining us on behalf of this half marathon he's running. He's running the popular Brooklyn Half on Saturday, May 18th, to help raise money for Act of Compassion. How much football are you watching these days? Because I feel like you're striking me as a guy that's like, you're just not as into it, maybe, in your post-playing
career. I got to admit, man, it's not as much. You know, it's not as much. I think, for me, I was always interested in the craft of the game. You know, the game within the game. Okay, I got this opponent, I got to figure out how to break him down. He's going to hit me with that long arm. I got to chop that. You know, to watch the game as a whole, particularly on TV, I always find it very frustrating, because I'm like, I'm trying to look at the lineman, and I'm looking at the quarterback's face, and now you're going to take me to the coach and look at the fan who's cursing this guy out. I'm like, I don't care about that. Just show me the sideline view and the end zone view, you know. But I just appreciate it, man. It's just good to be in an environment and not have to think so hard about how to stop an individual player,
I just got to think that you had to be tied into the NCAAs this year. I mean, with your Virginia team and the way that they handled Duke during the year when Zion wasn't in there. And then all of a sudden things kind of changed a little bit.
Yes, they did.
UVA, you know, shout out to UVA, man. It's great. I mean, I think UVA as a school, we've always done pretty well in each sport. You know, football, we're still waiting to get our championship together, but whether it be lacrosse, baseball, like, we've always been pretty dynamic, and to see what they did in basketball has just been phenomenal. So I think there's a lot of Cavaliers out there that are just on that high right now. Like, man, this is our time. So I'm excited too.
I want to go back to, you mentioned the head coach and the changing of the head coach when Rex came in. Now, Adam Gase doesn't have the same gregarious personality as Rex Ryan did, but he's a highly motivated guy, super focused on football, and you know, he sort of tore down some relationships there in Miami. It was a weird situation. Do you think that the locker room with that type of intense head coach has to have an adjustment? Like, you're a veteran player. This guy comes in with his hat pulled down all the way to his lips, and he's barking, he's changing the offense completely. What type of adjustment is that for a locker room to go from a guy like Todd Bowles to a guy like Adam Gase?
I mean, I think as an NFL player, like, you constantly go through changes, right? Whether it be coaching, whether it be GMs, I think that's just the nature of it. And I think ultimately, whatever change occurs, it just has to work, right? The chemistry just has to be something that guys are receptive to. You can go from a very strict coach like Eric Mangini, you can go to, a guy who's, you know, calling people out like Rex Ryan. But as long as you have success, either can work. And I think we've always had successful seasons with every coach that we've had. It's just how many successful seasons and how far have we gone. So I don't think it'll be an issue. I think, again, everybody, players, coaches, fans, are all ready for a change and want something to kind of get rolling again like we've done in the past. And why not be now, right? What's holding us back?
I always felt like having an offensive coach and making an offensive player, that guy was going to spend a lot more time with us in our meetings. He was going to be all around us. And now all of a sudden we felt like we were on point. Now, I played for a couple defensive coaches in my career, or I never saw them in an offensive game.
Right, right.
And I felt like they were detached. And I think that's always like the danger. I don't know how you felt, but for me, I want to see my head coach. I want him to be as much a part of me as he is a part of what he's good at. I mean, he may be defensive. And like when I had Pete Carroll, he was in the offensive meeting rooms. But then when I had, you know, other guys out in Arizona, they never showed up in the offensive meeting rooms.
You know, it's interesting. I think as an offensive lineman, we spend so much time with our position coach that the head coach is kind of like the general. He's going to set the targets. He's going to inspire the team. But all the work is done in the trenches with our O-line coach. We're spending so much time drilling, going over plays, hat placement. And so I can understand maybe like the QBs or some of the other positions really wanting that. But I never saw my head coach in that way. You know, I said, okay, he's going to lead the team. Now let's go and figure out how we're going to, you know, be a strong unit, you know.
Now, you were a top five pick, right? Selected fourth in the round one of the draft. Now, Quinnen Williams, who the Jets just selected at number three overall. We just played a clip of him where he's just, like, overwhelmed by looking at, like, guys like Jamal Adams and Sam Darnold. Oh, my God, Le'Veon Bell. What advice would you give Quinnen Williams being a top pick, a top three pick in the draft?
You know, I saw when he got drafted, I was watching the draft, and, you know, I just liked his attitude. You know, he's like, I'm going to be a beast in college. I'm going to be a beast in the league. And I hope he can keep that. I think once he gets into, you know, playing this game, he'll see the challenges of how hard it will be to be that dynamic. But you know what? You got to keep that fire. It's important. That's going to really drive you. I think every player has to figure out how are they going to be great in this stage, you know. And greatness is not only determined what you do on the field, but also outside of the game, right? Like, what are you going to do away from the game? Because it's a new thing that he's going to have to experience. But some of that is just, you know, you're just going to have to go through it and just try to make sure that you're trying to make good decisions, try to find, you know, people that can help mentor you through this process.
You know, you had to be a part of breaking in a new quarterback and a rookie in Mark Sanchez. Tell people just how difficult that is in the huddle with a rookie who just doesn't really know exactly what's going on.
You know, Mark is my guy. We still talk now. I think, you know, whenever in a situation like that, the best way I can help my teammate is by doing my job, right? So if I can get that defensive end and not have him in Mark's face or not have him, you know, pressuring, I'm doing the best thing I can for my quarterback. And so it's never easy, I think, with any rookie, to be honest with you. I know I always think of Pete Kendall. He was our guard, left guard, and I was a rookie, and Nick Mangold was a rookie. And he's trying to tell us what to do, you know, like, Brick, no, go over there. You know, and I can only imagine how challenging that could be as a veteran player, you know, having young guys that you know that they don't know what they're doing. The other team knows that these guys don't know what they're doing. But at the same, at the end of the day, you got to get it done. You got to figure it out.
Was he a significantly better player, better prepared his second year when he came in?
I think each year he progressed. I think each year he progressed. And I think, you know, like we talked about a little bit earlier, it's just about finding a groove, you know. It doesn't matter so much where a player is at. It's just if people know where how you're operating, then we can rally behind that. Okay, this is what a person does well. This is what a person doesn't do well. Okay, this is how we need to help this situation. And I think if you know that, you can have success, especially if you have veteran guys that can say, okay, we just got to raise the bar.
So you're running the popular Brooklyn Half for Act of Compassion, raising money for them. So tell us why Act of Compassion and why that's a passion of yours.
You know, compassion is interesting. I think, you know, as people, we have a desire to help. I know for me, being fourth overall in the NFL draft, playing 10 years, you know, that doesn't happen to everybody, you know. And I think there's ways you can help not only domestically but internationally. And my wife and I, we were drawn to Compassion as an organization, Compassion International. And so even though we've gone to El Salvador several times, they're across the world. They do a lot of great work helping children get out of poverty. And one of the some of the advice that I'd gotten was, hey, if you're going to, you know, run or train, you should really attach a goal that's bigger than yourself. And compassion was kind of like the first thing that I thought about. So Act for Compassion, we're raising money. They have a mothers and babies survival program. In that first year, especially in these third world countries, families struggle to make it that first year. And we are trying to raise money, but really bring awareness to what's happening. So people can learn more about what's going on. They can check my Twitter, my LinkedIn. I'm not big on social media, but, you know, causes like this make me be a little bit more vocal and just learn more about what we're doing.
Well, good luck on Saturday. That's a tremendous cause, and hopefully you make it through. It'll be your second one, and I think it's going to be like 70 degrees at the high on Saturday.
So you're lucky.
I think you'll be all right.
It was raining for us when we did the bike tour last weekend, but I will say this, you know, Brick, you do have something in common with my man to my left over here.
Okay.
He was a offensive lineman at Belport High School.
Is that the pitcher behind me?
That's Jerry Recco. But if you want, this is what they looked like at Belport.
Okay.
Yeah, we were. I was much bigger than this. I was a larger man.
So you lost weight too?
Yeah,
okay.
I did. Lost 50 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah, 60. Yeah. Boomer. Don't sell me short.
Now,
60
you,
pounds.
Were you a guard or a tackle?
I was a guard. I was a pulling guard with my swiftness. Yeah, I wasn't very good.
He was one of those short Long Island guys with a bad haircut.
He had leverage, though.
And an attitude.
Yeah, I was very weak. I had no leverage. Yeah,
that
man.
South Shore attitude.
I had one good game against Half Hollow Hills East. There was a guy who was smaller than me that I was blocking. That was it. I have that game tape somewhere in my garage. All right, to Brickashaw Ferguson, I appreciate your time this morning. Best of luck on Saturday.
Thank you so much.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.